SBS Radio.
Good morning, Shane. Welcome to SBS Hebrew English. The stage is yours. We'll be very happy to hear your coverage for the past week in Jewish Australia. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. So, there's a fair bit of news this week. In the Jewish news, there was a troubling anti-Semitic road attack incident in Melbourne last Monday, where a rabbi was waiting at traffic lights in his car, waiting for the signal to turn green. And in the car next to him, there was a couple together, and they started yelling abuse at him, anti-Semitic abuse. He asked them to repeat what they said, and they did so, and he recorded it on his device in his car. And some of the comments that he was called included, quote, "You should have died in Auschwitz," and also he was called various things I can't say. And he also said, the couple also said, "Would you like me to get out and show you what Hitler did?" Now, of course, this was a very shocking incident that no one should go through. The rabbi told the Jewish News that he moved to Australia 5 years ago from Europe, and he had witnessed anti-Semitism where he'd lived before. But he said he was shocked that such an anti-Semitic incident could happen here in Australia, in inner Melbourne. He was on the Nepean Highway in a suburb called Gardenvale at around 10 p.m. last Monday when it happened. And if anyone has any information about the incident, they are urged to call Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000.
You know, Shane, I would like to, when I see the front page of the Australian Jewish News of Friday, I'm amazed with the front page, of course, report about this incident. And on the left-hand side, I read about Malaysia stripped of championships after burying Israelis and they're disqualified. And then on top, we have, of course, after reading these two miseries incidents, and then you have what an honor about the Jewish recipients of awards on Australia Day. But please elaborate on the Malaysian story.
Yes, so Malaysia was due to host this year the a key qualification event for the swimming Paralympics. They had, leading up to the event, they had said that they will be banning any Israeli swimmers, Paralympic swimmers, from competing in the tournament. And that was led by a policy by Malaysia's Prime Minister, Mahathir Mohamad. The International Paralympic Committee last week has decided to strip Malaysia of the right to host this tournament. The decision was taken last Sunday and announced in London following Mahathir Mohamad's decision to bar Israelis. And after the ban, the Malaysia Prime Minister said, was still defiant, saying if they want to withdraw Malaysia's right to host the championship, they can do so. Calling his bluff, the International Paralympic Board said Malaysia failed to provide the necessary guarantees that Israeli paraswimmers could participate free from discrimination and safely in the championships, which is what every host nation must do. To include every participating nation. The IPC's president, Andrew Parsons, said, "When a host country excludes athletes from a particular nation for political reasons, then we have absolutely no alternative but to look for a new host." Israel's foreign ministry spokesman Emmanuel Nashon thanked the IPC for its brave decision, and there was a lot of reaction from Australia post and before this decision. Michael Danby, Melbourne Ports MP, reiterated his call for Australia to offer itself as an alternative host, and he said he's very pleased with the decision of the IPC. Executive Council of Australian Jewry co-CEO Peter Wertheim said the IPC was fully justified in stripping Malaysia of the event, and he went further, saying Mahathir's blatant attempt to inject politics and his own personal anti-Semitic prejudices into sport by banning Israeli Paralympic swimmers was an utter disgrace.
Yes, and now I would say if you could cover for us a little bit of joy within the Jewish community during Australia Day.
Yes, so there were 39 recipients of Australia Day honours last week, including two ACs, Companion of the Order of Australia, which is one of the highest levels in the whole awards. There were six AOs, which is an Officer of the Order of Australia, and there were 14 AMs, members of the Order of Australia, and 17 OAMs. So that's quite an impressive number, 39 Jewish recipients. I'll just go through some of the more high-level ones. So there were two ACs, Pauline Gandel and Rhonda Gulbally. So some of your listeners would have heard of Pauline Gandel. She's a well-known philanthropist. Her award cites her many years of work in the community in humanitarian, philanthropic and fundraising endeavors, and for her work in social inclusion, as well as building closer links between Australia and Japan. She told the Jewish News that her philosophy is very simple. She said, be directly involved whenever you can, and also give with your heart as well as your head. She said, I just love being directly involved, to get my hands dirty, as it were, personally encouraging and engaging in numerous causes and initiatives and seeing the results. And she said she wanted this award to inspire her own family and others to continue following in the footsteps of her and her husband John's work. She worked in so many organizations, the Jewish Museum, the Holocaust Center. Of course, there's a Gandel Oration that's held every year. She supports the Emmy Monash Aged Care Center and organizations including Courage to Care and Access.
The oration is for the defamation committee, and that's something very important, especially when you mentioned the two articles in the front page.
That's right, absolutely. As many listeners would have gone to these events at least once, they always have a very inspiring guest speaker and raise a lot of money. So Rhonda Gulbally is the other AC recipient, and it's for her work advancing social equity, particularly to the health and welfare of people with a disability. Now, Rhonda actually lived with a disability since she was an infant, when she actually contracted polio, and her childhood was spent in and out of hospital, and she was forced to wear calipers on both legs. She wrote a book about that, and also how to inspire every Australian who has a disability to have the power to make their own difference in society. She became a patron of the Australian Alliance for Inclusive Education. She was a member and principal of the Independent Advisory Council of the National Disability Insurance Agency since 2013. And she's also very well known for her efforts in eliminating tobacco advertising in sport. And some other recipients, just very briefly, of AOs were Susan Maslin, who's quite a iconic Australian film industry personality and worker, Ilana Katz-Chernin, who's an award-winning composer and pianist, who actually wrote the music for the opening ceremony of the Sydney Olympic Games. Gillian Segal, she's very well known within the New South Wales Jewish community for her work at the Executive Council of Australian Jewry, the Sir John Monash Foundation, and the Garvan Institute of Medical Research, which actually recently formed a joint venture with the Weizmann Institute of Israel. There's Professor Sharon Lewin for her work in medical research and education, and particularly in the field of infectious diseases and HIV/AIDS. There's Emeritus Professor Harold Luntz for his distinguished service to legal education, and Ronnie Kahn. Many of your listeners would know her name. She's the founder and CEO of OzHarvest, which collects excess food or unused food and makes it available for people in need all around Australia.
So you see the versatility of the recipients from every discipline of life.
Absolutely.
And Shane Desiatnik, thank you so much for joining us, of course, on behalf of Australian Jewish News, reporting about the past week in Australia. And we look forward to hearing you again in a program next weekend.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Shane.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.